You're listening to Let's Talk Business with Susan Smith, the brand new podcast which focuses on entrepreneurs from all over the world and every aspect of business. It also broadcasts on air in Ireland on Ross FM 94.6. And today, joining us on the phone, we have the speaker and entrepreneur Lorenzo Escobal. Lorenzo, you're very welcome to the studio today.
Thanks for having me here. It's such a pleasure. Like, even though, yes, I am calling in from Toronto, Canada. It's just afternoon time here. And, you know, I'm very honored to be here and actually, share a story to people there in Ireland.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure our listeners will be really, really glad to hear your story. Lorenzo, you're an entrepreneur. Can you tell me, were you entrepreneurial growing up?
No. Realistically, no. Let me go back to my roots. So my background is a Filipino, where in a sense where majority of us were raised in a sense that, you know, you do well in school, you get a good job, and then you just work your way up. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, it was actually by accident. So it was not something that I ever planned at all.
You faced rejection early on. You went to get a student painting franchise. Do you feel that being rejected at such a young age kind of strengthened you as a person at that time?
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. So, you know, it's normal to receive a lot of rejections in your life, whether it's for personal or for a business. So when I applied to, you know, to be a franchisee for a student painting company at the time, they didn't believe that, you know, I got rejected in the sense that they didn't believe that I have the enough experience to run a business. So in a sense that I use that as a motivation, encourage myself, you know, to push harder and actually prove that they're wrong.
That's always a good thing as well, if you take a positive from a rejection. This is something that I can completely identify with, by the way, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will too. You started your business with very little money and very little support. How did you stay motivated?
So let's go back as to what business I'm in. Auto detailing business. So it's called Inception Automotive Detailing. So the point of the business is it started first as a mobile service. So I would actually go to door to door or go to people's homes or offices to actually clean and detail cars to make it look like new. So I started the business when I was in first year university. So that was back in 2011. I was 18 years old. I'm 25 years old now. So with $1,200, so that's $1,000 with the credit card limit and $200 in cash. So with a little capital, so you learn how to be the jack of all trades, in a sense where you literally did everything yourself. You're a one man army. And then with that little capital, I use it in a sense that I got myself motivated to do things very, very efficient. To get the business going from the ground up.
So you learned how to operate basically from day one with keeping your overheads low.
Exactly, yes, by being very efficient in everything that you do. You only buy things that's like crucial and then that's necessary to get the business going. Like, you'll have your list of needs and wants, but you'll only get the things that you need first before your wants.
Well, I was reading there as well, Lorenzo, that you actually covered your costs with your first client. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, exactly. So I remember I had a $150 Google AdWords credit at first. So it was free, right? So it was a free credit. So I decided to try it out. So, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing on Google AdWords. So I just clicked a bunch of buttons here and there, just tried to follow their little step-by-step guide. And then soon enough, I got a phone call on my personal cell phone, because I didn't have a business line yet at the time. So I got a call, and it happened to be a regional transit company in the Toronto region. Where pretty much what they wanted me to do was come on site to their workplace to actually detail the executive and supervisor vehicles. So it was, I think, 7 or 8 vehicles. So probably spent about $60 at the time, and then received about $2,000 at the end.
Wow.
Where it paid off $1,200 and made a little bit of money there.
And was that massively satisfying for you to cover your costs so quickly?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yeah. So it was covered within 2 weeks after starting the Google AdWords campaign. So I started the business March of 2011, and during the because I was still in school full time, so everything was done on the side, in a sense that after we were done, you know, for the school year. So usually our vacations are between May May to August. That was when I commenced the operations in May. Within 2 weeks, like, the whole cost was paid off, and it was definitely satisfying for sure.
Can you tell me what has been the most rewarding part of being in your own business for you?
Connecting with clients. Also, the fact, you know, I've met some owners where or some people where, because you have to go through the secretary and things like that. But it was really satisfying when, because we do high end detailing work. So sometimes, you know, some clients, you know, they could pay up to $15,000 to actually detail a car, right?
Gosh, where it'll
take, you know, it'll take a good like number of weeks to perfect the work.
That's incredible.
So when you, really satisfying when these owners are the ones who's actually calling you. So in a sense, I get paid to network. That's how I see the positive.
And can you tell me, what does it involve? What does detailing a car actually involve, just for anybody who might not be aware of it?
Yeah, so for us, the way I define detailing is we provide you what's called the new car driving experience, in a sense that, you know, we can clean your car to a sense that, you know, it looks like just as if you bought it again.
Wow.
Just as if, you know, you picked it up from showroom, right? So we always, so after we finish our work, we'll always have this wow reaction, you know, from the client where it says, where directions are like, oh, my car looks so clean. It's like a brand new car. It's like a whole new beginning, right? So so it's not your regular car wash service where you're mm-hmm. just, you know, scrubbing it with some soaps and suds here and there, but yeah. It's an actual full service where we'll actually go through every nook and cranny in the car to actually make it look like you just picked it up from the dealership.
Can you tell me what is the most impressive car you have ever worked on?
Oh, well, there's a lot. a lot of vehicles. Like, I've worked on a lot of high-end exotics from your, you know, Lamborghinis, your Ferraris, wow. Maseratis, you know, Teslas as well. So, you know, like, the Gallardos, Aventadors, you know, they're great and everything. But I would say the most unique ones are the classic vehicles where, you know, they've been produced, you know, at a limited,
editions.
You know, run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Editions where sometimes these classic cars can auction well over $1 million.
Wow.
Some limited edition Porsches that I've worked on. And then there's one called the Porsche Singer, the Singer 911. So that one's a very, well-known, car that's redesigned, and then, you know, just getting it rebuilt cost well over $600,000. So it's you know, it's very satisfying, you know, and very, I'm very privileged in a sense that I get to work on all of these high-end vehicles because our clients actually trust us, right? So I've done some private collections where some of my clients have, you know, about 30 cars in their collections, and then I'll actually travel for it. So sometimes I'll fly out to other cities where just to actually clean their cars.
Wow, that's actually incredible work. It really, really is. And just from your bio earlier, you started the business in 2011. By 2015, you had Google Canada as a client. Can you tell me how that happened?
It was funny because Google found us on Google, right? So it was actually the Canadian headquarters where they needed somebody to go on site to actually detail their employees' personal vehicles on site, right? So what this person did was just fill the inquiry box online, and then when I saw the email extension at google.com, I was like, this cannot be true. I got back to them in a timely manner, and then had an in-person meeting at the Canadian headquarters in Waterloo. In the city of Waterloo. So they were actually located in other cities, about an hour's drive from where we are.
Okay.
And so we had an in-person meeting. You know, I was going through, you know, their needs and what are they looking for, and then created a solution package to which, you know, it actually met their needs, and then decided to move forward. So I got the yes just a day before my 23rd birthday. So I was just 22 there.
That's amazing. Amazing. And how did you feel when you left that meeting?
I didn't know what was going on at first, maybe it didn't really kick hard until, you know, a couple months later that we were actually working with one of the most well-known companies in the world. So it led us to other opportunities, because now once you have that company in your portfolio, then other big companies started contacting us. So like Tesla's another big one that we actually have a much even bigger relationship than Google at this time.
I was actually just going to ask you about that, and I'm wild with envy here because Tesla is one. It's one of my favorite driving experiences, and I just recently had a spin in one, and I'm thinking of buying one. But I'm also fascinated with Elon Musk as well. But how does it feel to be to have Tesla as your client?
Oh, it's very privileged, and I'll be up front with Tesla. Like they we do have some, you know, non-disclosure sign, but in general, mm-hmm. In general, it is, you know, it's not for everybody in a sense that they look nothing but excellence. In a sense that they want to do things perfect, and then you know, it's a very, very fast-paced industry. So what I enjoyed about it is it really gave me an actual challenge to meet their needs, to meet the Tesla standards, right? So, you know, we have an open contract with them in a sense that not only we service, you know, the detailing on some of their service centers in the Toronto area, but we actually have a charging partnership with Tesla, where if you have a Tesla vehicle, you can actually come to our detailing location. So while your car is getting cleaned up, it gets a free recharge as well of the car.
Excellent.
So we're the only company in North America who got approved for that, and then we're publicly listed on Tesla's website and also on their vehicle charging directory as well.
God, that's an incredible achievement. Congratulations on securing that client. You've achieved numerous awards over the course of your career. Can you talk to us about what will be your proudest moment in business to date?
The proudest moment on business to date is, yes, the awards are one thing, where we have been awarded the Consumer's Choice Award for, you know, being the best in the auto detailing in the regions we are. So we're in three regions in the Greater Toronto Area, so the York Region, the Toronto Central, and the GTA North as well. So, it's really good in a sense that for a very small and very efficient team, so we're just under 10 people, but we do things extremely efficient in the sense that we can actually work on well over 100 vehicles each month and actually do a terrific job on it. And then so we actually serve the whole Greater Toronto area. So we have an in-house location, but we also have a mobile service still mm-hmm. where we go on site to actually do the detailing work. So having these awards, it's definitely it attests to our excellence, like providing, you know, the unrivaled detailing service to our clients, where we are a premium service as well. So we're one of the most expensive detailing businesses in the Greater Toronto area. But, you know, we do have those expectations where we treat every client vehicle as if it was our own cars.
Well, that's very obviously the secret to your success. Can you talk to me, just going back a little bit, you did serve time in the army. Do you feel that this helped you to maintain the discipline that's required to run a successful business?
100%. The discipline that I learned in the military, and when I was in the military for 4 years, so I served in the reserves. So I was a field artillery soldier in the 7th Toronto Royal Canadian Artillery Regiment. So I was firing the howitzers, you know, in the gun detachment. So I was a private rank or gunner, which is the lowest rank. And so I did that for 4 years, where, you know, you learn how to follow orders, but you learn how to follow orders from your superiors. And then the discipline, the stress, knowing how to adapt to changes unexpectedly. So which you know, in the business world, it happens all the time. You need to learn how to adapt to change and learn how to just manage whatever, you know, if there's a certain problem that arises, you know, you can actually manage it without getting stressed out, right? So also, you know, sometimes there are those times where everyone's just hustling, you're pulling all those late night hours, those you know, the all-nighters, like, it really helped a lot in a sense where I managed to be very disciplined about it, and then grow it to where it is now.
Can you talk to me a little bit about coaching? Do you have a coach, or have you ever had a coach? And can you talk to us a bit about that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So one of my coaches, and then I give a lot of credit to, is JT Fox. So JT Fox have been my coach for about since 2014. So he became a coach of mine. I graduated university. So it's, you know, 4 years later, it's the things that I learned from himself, but also his organization and the other coaches, it definitely propelled the business to the next level where I wouldn't have imagined, you know, I wouldn't have imagined, right, if I didn't get that support, right? So there was a lot that I learned for sure. And then also just traveling as well, where you get to meet a lot of like-minded entrepreneurs as well. So, you know, those who surround yourself with is who you become. So I surround myself with people who are far more successful than me, but also some of my clients, a lot of them are more successful than me. So, you know, I have to network and I always ask questions. And then that's how you grow. So I do have a lot of mentors as well.
So just before we came on air here today, we discussed that we were both at the National Achievers Congress in London there last year, and you were saying that you actually spoke on stage. Do you do a lot of public speaking, and do you feel nervous before you come out and speak to an audience?
Oh yeah, definitely. I still do. I get nervous well when I speak on stage, but once you're on stage, it goes away. But really, sometimes it's you know, you have that fear of uncertainty. Like with every entrepreneur, everyone has that fear of uncertainty because you never know in which direction your business will go, whether if you're going to make it or not, right? So, so that's why as much as you try to plan for things, it doesn't always happen, right? So you learn how to adjust accordingly depending on whatever situation you're in.
So the first time you went on stage, how did you deal with the nerves?
This was years ago. So when I was on stage as well too. So I learned how to just, you know, take a deep breath, just relax, like calm down your heart rate, right? Because at the end of the day, when it comes to public speaking, and you know, like I've been in interviews where, you know, over a million people have been listening. So recently there was one that I had in South Africa, at one of the largest, I think the largest radio station in Johannesburg, which is 702 Radio. So you know, I know for a fact that there's like a lot of listeners there. And at the end of the day, you just have to be genuine about yourself and just speak from the heart, right?
Yeah.
So speak from the heart, and then, you know, you're there for a reason, right? So you're there to definitely, you know, share your story, inspire people, but also provide value as well, right? So you know, I know that, you know, things are done right, and then, so that's why, you know, I learn how to overcome, just because you know for a fact that your story will make a difference for somebody.
Yes, exactly. When you were starting out, your family and friends thought you were crazy. Can I ask you, are your family proud of you now?
I know they are. They don't say it directly, though. Yeah. I know they are, though. I know they are, but they're not the vocal type. So,
okay.
But I know they are. Because initially, when I got into the business world, so in my family, majority were, you know, before there were, you know, doctors, teachers, lawyers, nurses, right? So much, or engineer.
Yeah.
So I was the only one where I went the other direction. You know, starting a business, but. You know, in the business, like you're in the car detailing, right? So for some people, it doesn't always look as appealing just because, oh, yeah, you're scrubbing cars, cleaning cars or whatever. But, you know, having those doubts, you know, like I said, it motivated me to prove that you can actually make a living and a healthy living out of it.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you talk about scrubbing cars or cleaning cars, you've completely revolutionized your business, and you're getting, I mean, you can claim a fee of up to €15,000 for detailing a car. And I mean, there's certainly, if you were working in a job, there's some people and that's their salary, you know, for a year. So I think you've done a superb job on the business there. Lorenzo, we're almost coming to the end of our interview here, but can you tell me what's coming up for you in the future? What's the goal? What's the plan?
Well, there's actually a lot of opportunities. So I am going back to Africa, so South Africa, in July for some work with the Mandela family, actually.
Wow.
So Indaba Mandela. I made a contribution to his charity, and then so I'm coming back there not only to celebrate the 100 years after his birth, where to which I'll be in a gala, but also see the charity. See the charity of the African Rising Foundation, where so I said that I wanted the money to go towards, you know, buying some school supplies or pay some tuition for some disadvantaged youth, right? So I do believe investing in the youth is important, because they will eventually be the leaders of, you know, our world, right? So, you know, by having a good foundation and giving them those tools to be successful, you know, it'll definitely, you'll be able to reap your rewards later on, right? So there's also business opportunities that I am looking in South Africa as well, but also in the UK. And then I do want to visit Ireland in the summertime.
Lorenzo, how do people contact you if they want to contact you for business or for coaching? How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I do have a personal website, lorenzoescobal.com. Okay. Or if you actually look at Inception Automotive Detailing, which is actually my main company, there are the phone numbers there to which, you know, I do have one of my team members, you know, picking up and seeing these emails, and then they can always forward it to me, right? So we're easily accessible.
That's fantastic. Well, Lorenzo, congratulations on all of your achievements to date. I think that you're a fascinating young man and a successful entrepreneur, and it's an absolute credit to you, all you have achieved at such a young age. Thank you so much for speaking with us today also.
Thank you for having me here.
You're listening to Let's Talk Business with me, Susan Smith, and we're back again for another chef's section with our top chef, Hugh McGivern, who's always on hand to give us some of his latest healthy recipes. Hugh, you're very welcome back again.
Evening, Susan. How are you?
Not too bad. And how are you this week, Hugh?
I'm lovely. I'm enjoying the sun today. We've had sunshine.
What? You have sunshine?
The rain.
Well, I can tell you now, we have been in a cloud here since 9 o'clock this morning. It hasn't lifted. So it's actually like physically driving inside of the cloud. But coming from Scotland, I'm sure you know what that feels like.
Yeah. I mean, Scotland, this would just be my summer. That would be it. Done, finished.
Hugh, what delicious delights have you got for us this week?
So, this evening, we're going to put on a lovely banana, walnut and cranberry bread.
Ooh,
this
sounds delish.
It's probably, without doubt, the easiest recipe you'll ever make in your life.
Really?
It's feel safe, and it's great. I'm always trying to encourage kids to get into cooking, because kids don't do enough lot of cooking nowadays. There's some that do it, but the majority don't. So this is one for the mums or the dads to do with the kids.
Excellent.
It's not enough lot of ingredients. You can't go wrong, because you just dump everything in a bowl and mix it. So what you need to do, first job, is turn on your oven to 160 degrees Celsius. Then get yourself a 500 gram loaf tin. So that's quite a small one. If you don't have loaf tins, don't despair. Get a muffin tin and put muffins in. So you need probably about 8 muffins for this recipe. So butter the loaf tin well. You don't have to butter off the muffin tins, because you're going to put paper bits in them. And put it in the fridge. It helps cook better. So in a big bowl, if you weigh out 140 grams of self-raising flour with an additional teaspoon of baking powder, then add to that 140 grams of caster sugar, 140 grams of vegetable oil, or any oil you choose from, 2 large eggs, 2 chopped up very, very ripe bananas, even the ones that's gone black. So then you get your hand mixer, or your food processor, your mixer, and just put it in amongst it and mix it all up. Make sure it's really, really well mixed. When it's well mixed, fold in 50 grams of chopped walnuts, or any nuts that you fancy, really, and 50 grams of dried cranberries. If you don't have cranberries, put in sultanas or raisins. Mix it all in. Make sure it's... you may have to put just a little splash of milk in there, just a bit tight. Tip it into the loaf tin, take it in the oven, put it in, and put it on a tray, put it in the oven. Takes about 30 to 40 minutes. Check it with a skewer after about 30 minutes, a wooden skewer or something long and thin. If it comes out clean, it's ready. When you take it out of the oven, let it cool for 3 or 4 minutes, then turn it upside down onto a cooling wire, and it's ready. That's it. It's that easy.
That sounds
lovely.
Incredibly easy. I mean, I would actually consider making that tonight. So you just pile everything into a bowl, really, and mix it, and away you go.
Yeah, I stayed in a bed and breakfast in Scotland a couple of years ago, and I was talking to the wee woman who ran the bed and breakfast, and I was explaining I'm a chef. She went, oh, I always have trouble making this. I went, I've got a recipe that I keep on my phone. And I gave her the recipe. And I swear, an hour later, she brought some in.
No way.
She goes, I made this. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. So tea and banana bread. I like it with lashings of butter on it, but then I go, that's just me. I'm 6 foot 4, there's a lot of me to feed.
It sounds delicious, really delicious. But Hugh, that's actually an incredible recipe and so easy to make as well. Can I ask a question? Just, this is something for my own personal self. What temperature should the oven be at?
160, I see that at the very start, sorry. 160 Celsius.
Right.
So not too crazy. And that's a fan-assisted oven. If it's a normal oven,
okay,
like someone's got an agar or something, that's like a proper oven, I would put it up by about 5 or 10 degrees.
Okay, Doc. Because I have my oven, whatever the reason being, it's an old enough cooker as well. If something takes 20 minutes to cook, it will cook in 10 minutes in my oven. I don't know. Oh, it's probably broken, actually.
So yeah, just turn it down. Just reduce it. But, I mean, you know, I mean, it's, my mum's oven at home, it's as old as the hills. I mean, I think Fred Flintstone used to use it. I sort of said to the first time I used it, oh, it runs too hot. So I just adjusted it. Then I was curious, she was, oh, how do you work that out?
Yeah, I know. I do adjust it, and then it just... It just never works out for me. I think I'm just going to buy a new cooker.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Hugh, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Thank you for another wonderful recipe, and I look forward to chatting to you next week.
Yeah, next week we're going to do my chicken satay. It is fantastic. It's full of protein. You'll never buy chicken satay again.
Well, listen,
that's the one we'll do.
That is something to look forward to. Thank you so much, Hugh. Fair play.
You're very welcome.
And you're very welcome back to the show. And next up on our chef's tips is top chef Raymond McArdle. Raymond, you're very welcome back. And how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
That's good. Yeah, very good. Bit of a rush this evening, but very, very good. Happy out. So, Ray, what delicious recipes do you have for us this week?
I've decided to do a fish dish, and it's a starter.
Oh, delish.
And it's resemblance of smoked salmon, only it's not smoked, if that makes sense. It's a cured Irish salmon.
Ooh.
And we're surrounded by water, so, and it's very beautiful to eat, and it's very picturesque on the plate.
Oh, nice. Looking forward to this.
And it's very simple. It's very simple. So if you get one side of salmon, and you can go to your fishmonger and ask him for one side of salmon with the skin on and the bones removed.
Okay.
And that's all you really need for this. Then you need, for the marinade, you need, it's a dry marinade, 300 grams of caster sugar, 150 grams of sea salt. I use sea salt because it's not as salty as normal ground salt. 75 grams of crushed black pepper. And if you mix them together in a bowl, if you weigh them out, you mix them together in a bowl. And then put the salmon on a tray and cover the salmon with this dry marinade of sugar, salt and pepper. And then wrap it in cling film on the tray, put it in your fridge for about 2 days. And what that's going to do is it's going to cure the salmon and it's going to firm it up and it's going to be like the texture of smoked salmon. Then after the 2 days or even 3 days, it depends how much you want to cook, then you wipe it off with a cloth and rinse it under the tap, cold water. And then you get a bunch of dill or coriander or whatever your favorite herb is, flat leaf parsley, and you chop it finely and you spread it over the top of the salmon. Put it back in the fridge for another few hours. And then when you want to use it, you take it out and you just cut really thin slices of it. And just like smoked salmon again, just like that sort of style. Put it on the plate, and I like to serve it with beetroot wedges. Maybe different types of beetroot. You can get nice gold and candied beetroots. And then, or some nice egg with it. And I serve brown bread on the side and some watercress to garnish. And that's my marinated Irish salmon with beetroot and cress.
Wow, that sounds, it sounds really easy.
It's dead easy. You wouldn't buy smoked salmon again.
I mean, that would be an ideal starter to do if you were having a dinner party or something like that.
Absolutely, because you can do it like on a Wednesday and be ready for the Friday, and then you've got to slice it on the Saturday. And it's very tasty.
It sounds delicious, and I love salmon myself. That's an absolutely incredible recipe. Delighted you shared that with us this evening, Ray.
No problem, Susan. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. And we're looking forward to whatever you have in store for us next week.
Oh, God. Probably meat.
Meat it is. Well, listen, Raymond, have a wonderful week, and we'll chat to you here on the podcast next week. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.